That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more. When it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play a call for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel
is
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Ladies and gentlemen, Remnant, welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is Saturday morning, October 29th, 2016, and we welcome you here. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And how are things in Jason's world today?
They are doing just fine, fine and dandy.
Good. Good to hear it. Good to hear it. And Remnant, we are here this morning. If you want to call in, we'll have the phone lines open up, 307-745-5913 if you want to call in, if you have a question or a comment. And we've got a couple of current events I think we'll probably get to this morning, but we'll open up with prayer. Jason, we'll ask if you would open us up in prayer this morning.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program today. We pray that you guide us and direct us, Father. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. We thank you for the air that we breathe and the sunshine, Father, and the rain and the snow, Father. And we've had all those lately, and Father, we are so grateful for that. We just come before you and we recognize that you are a merciful God, and Father, that you never keep testing us, never stop testing us, Father, that you never give up on us, Father, and that you give us the test that we fail, Father, that you're merciful and given to us again, Father, and we're grateful for that. Father, we pray that you do strengthen us, and we just call upon you to strengthen us and encourage us and give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Father, help us to pass the tests that are put before us, Father. Help us to have the grace and mercy that we need in our lives, Father. We pray that you can use us in a mighty and powerful way, Father, to be a blessing to your people, Father, to be a blow to the snakes, Father, to be a light into a dark world. And we pray that you do that in us, Father. We pray that you just allow us to spread hope, Father, and to give people encouragement, Father, as we know that this dark world so much of the time is lacking, Father, and we desire to be able to spread that, Father. We pray that we can spread your gospel, the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, and that we can do it accurately, Father, and And we pray, Father, that you just help us to get across what we need to get across when we're witnessing to people, Father, that you give us the words to speak, Father, and that you anoint their ears so that they can receive what we have to say. Father, we pray, Father, against this satanic high holy day coming up called Halloween, Father. We know that there's a lot of witchcraft and sorcery and spells and wickedness that goes on around this time of year, Father. And we just lift it up to you, Father, and we call for you to look down upon it, Father, and for you to destroy it, Father. Destroy these wicked ones, Father, those that would do human sacrifices, Father, those that would poison people, Father, those that try to get closer to their father, the devil, Father, their God. And we pray, Father, that you deal with them as you see fit. We bind them, we bundle them, and we cast them to your feet, and we call for you to look down upon them, Father, and deal with these wicked ones treacherously. We call upon you to do that in the name above all names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for it.
Amen and amen. Well, you know, it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. I know it is because God gives his people great days. And these are great days that we're living in. Jason, it came to mind when you were talking about that, about letting us be a light to the world. That is what we are to be. And I'm a little behind in my Bible reading. I was reading in Isaiah 59 this morning, trying to get caught up. And he says in verse 2 of Isaiah 49, he is also made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will show my glory. And if you read all of 49, it is talking about, of course, it's the prophecy of God going to send his word, his gospel, to the ends of the earth, to the islands. It starts out and says that, listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. And you know, in verse 6, he says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also make you a light of the nation so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And that has almost happened. It is almost, every people. Of course, this is addressed to Jacob, Israel, and his people are scattered throughout the whole earth, all the land, and the gospel goes to them, but it also goes to all the people. It does, and that time has almost come. It has almost gotten in. The Bible has been translated into almost every language. The shortwave sends the gospel out all over the world. We've seen recently more and more emails coming in from places like Germany and South America and Canada and places where, the word goes out. It's just as simple as that. The word goes out, and the people are hearing it and writing in and letting us know that they're hearing it. And anyway, it was encouraging me to read that this morning and then to hear that in your prayer as well.
Yeah, amen. I believe we got Tim on the line. Good evening, Tim. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Yep, it's me. Hi, guys. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because, you know, as we talk about, you know, light versus darkness, one of the Acres men, he sent me in a newspaper article, and I thought it was really interesting, and it was on this UW student accused of serial rape. And in talking to him, they interviewed him, and, you know, before he was accused of sexually assaulting all these women, this would happen in Wisconsin. He was a rugby player, guitar player. You know, everybody said that he was just, you know, he's one of those just really good guys that everybody looked up to and respected. When he was asked who his main influences were, he started off with saying God, and he talked about Christianity, and he said that was number one. His number two was Satan. And, You know, and he went in to talk about how if Satan, if there was no Satan, God wouldn't have anything to do. So that's how he started looking into Satan. So, you know, his two biggest influences on his life were God and Satan. And, you know, it shows you how you know, evil and wicked things are. I mean, people, it's out there and people recognize it. You know, I mean, yeah, there's been, I think that you could say that these forces have been at work on a lot of people's life is, you know, God and Satan. Yeah, because Satan does fiery attacks, and he does. But this person went from that point to basically, I would say from looking at it, everything that I've read on it was almost to a satanic worshiper. And, you know, that's where, I mean, and it's like to go to do that swap, to go from, you know, being a Christian to go into being a Satan worshiper. I mean, it's like, you know, that stuff was unheard of in the past. Now it's, you know, we're reading about it in our newspapers.
Wow. Yeah, it's becoming more commonplace, isn't it, all the time, as far as, I think they had some invocation here a while back in Indiana. They had a House of Representatives, I believe we brought that up on one of the shows or something, and that was an invocation by some Wiccans or something at the opening of their House or you know, city committee. That's just, I mean, I'm sure that if someone had told our grandparents that that was going to happen, they would have just about laughed us or, you know, they've been incredulous that anything like that would ever happen here.
Amen.
In this, you know, so.
And you see that all over. I remember seeing somewhere down in Florida, some city council or county commission meeting or something like that, that in some little town that they always open with a prayer. They opened with the Pledge of Allegiance, and they opened with a prayer. And, yeah, some Satanist had argued and filed a lawsuit to be able to open the prayer there. And so they made the announcement at the beginning of it, and three of the four commission members, when he started, they got up and walked out. And then when he was done, they came back in. And, you know, that in itself just says... you know, more so than just the acceptance of, you know, of this. You know, we read in I think it's 2 Timothy 2, of that very thing. No, it's 2 Timothy 3. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers. And tell me that that's not what reviling is. Reviling against God. Disobedient to parents. Boastful, arrogant, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And I think we certainly see that. And... you know, Jason, that article that the man sent you that you read, you know, how many people today will be shocked by that? You know, we'll see that, oh my God, Satan influences this guy. Or, you know, he admits to that. But how many people are shocked by that? Or it's just the sign of the times?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, one of the other things that occurs to me is the fact that, you know, God talked about how he'd rather you were hot or cold than the lukewarm situation. And we talk about toward the latter days how that there'll be a separation, you know, between the tares and the wheat. And I think we're seeing that happen right before our eyes. I mean, it sounds to me like this is just a perfect example of that situation. I mean, the homos and the Satan worshipers and the child perverts and all of the graft and vice in our land, so to speak, was you know, pretty much under the bed and in the closet type thing. And these days it's like, well, just get it right out there and show it off. And it's from God. I mean, they're sticking their head up higher all the time, you know. And the other thing is I you know, I praise the Lord just like on Wednesday night prayer meeting and in these phone conversations, and when people call in and they write in, and we see that there's a lot of God's people out there. There's more than I know about, and they are not bowing their knee. You know, they're standing right up there too. You know?
Amen.
And, so
Amen.
It's just those things coming on, and I think it's, you know, it's a fulfillment of what is to come and what God wants to happen. I mean, we see it right before our, see the fulfillment of it coming as we watch.
Yep.
So
we do. What a blessing to have this word, have His word that tells us what is going on, tells us why it's going on. And you know what a blessing it was for God to send His servant Peter Peters to be able to, you know, explain this word to us in the language that he did, in a way that, you know, that I know, in a way that I could have some understanding into it. I was talking about, we were talking about it the other day with some local people here, and it's like, you know, the Bible is full of truth. Now, whether we believe it or not, whether we are even able to see it or not, you know, that thank God again for the Holy Spirit that did that very thing, that called us out of darkness, and then that gave us someone that would put truth out, the truth of the Word, and you know, the Bible's the truth. I mean, just as simple as that. So that when it says, hey, in the last days, men will be, as we just read, and then when you look around and see that's how people are today, that's how so-called Christians are today, that, maybe this is the last days. And when you see that, you know, the people, just like you said, Tim, it's like the time of the tares and the wheat. The enemies of God, they just stand up straight and tall and proud, and they shove their sin right in your face. You know, you know, this ministry's always come against sin. For the 35 years or plus that it's been in existence, you know, it always comes against sin. You can look back 20 plus years ago. What was it, Jason? 25 years ago, the Debbie Does Dallas. We were talking about that
Debbie
this weekend.
Debbie Does Donuts.
Debbie Does Donuts, right? Trying to come into Fort Collins and did, and the protests that came up, and you know. Pastor Peters and his family and the church, they protested that. They stood up to that sin. And when the homosexuals tried to get special rating and or special granting in Fort Collins, Pastor Peters and his ministry, it stood up against sin. And, you know, that's what we're to do. That's part of that, Jason, when you opened in the opening prayer about being the light of the world, being a blessing to his people. Well, you know, when the darkness is rising up, it's the light that shines against that darkness, that comes against it. You know, but if the light, if you hide your light underneath that bushel basket, the light doesn't go anywhere. But that's not what the light's made for. The light's made to shine out. And, you know, many times, and Tim, I think we've talked about this too, you know, many times, even just our actions, you know, certainly our actions speak louder than words, but just being an example, you know, just being that example of, you know, loving your neighbors yourself, you know, turning the other cheek, doing our best to live a godly life. You know, the people that are in our circles, so to speak, you know, whether it's the people we see at the grocery store or at the gas station or at work or wherever, they notice that. They notice that, and they see that it's light. And, you know, it the old saying, birds of a feather, you know, people are drawn to that. You know, I know we were drawn to the truth, you know, because of how other people who had heard this truth, who believed it, and who accepted this truth, the Bible truth, for what it is. And then we saw how they were living their lives and the change that had come over them. Change for the better. And, you know, that certainly had a positive influence on us. And I can't help but think that that's how God, you know, uses people to draw other people to Him. I hope I'm making sense there.
Yeah, I think Ezekiel 33 is kind of what you're talking about, the watchman's duty. And I think a lot of times, in my own life at least, I can remember being younger, and as I've gotten older, not old, just older, but anyways, we see the watchman's duty, and what we see is the outcry. And the outcry comes about, and that's really, isn't that what the watchman does? I mean, if you're a night watchman, they're looking for the outcry of a watchman, you know, they're coming to take it away. Look what they're doing, you know, exposure. And also, we talk about, you were talking about seeing. I mean, I don't want to, you know, re-say what you were saying, but I'm just kind of pointing out these points in Ezekiel 33 that show the same thing as what you're saying. When the evildoers see that watchman, there's probably some easier pickets, you know, or they may change their, in other words, there's a change. They change their ways because of what they see. So, by our example, our road sign, I mean, that's kind of a common word around here, you know, I mean, they're a road sign, you know, I mean, that's why they're that way. And you can be a road sign for good or bad. I mean, you know, as far as, or a example of it, you know. I mean, so we have to constantly examine ourselves to make sure that what we are mirroring or what we're showing a sign of is a good thing, is God, not God's enemy.
Amen. Amen. You know, I don't know it. I don't know the poem, but what comes to mind is The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. You know, Paul Revere's Ride. It was a poem written by Longfellow. And, you know, they used to teach that in school. I don't know it, but it's what he did. You know, through the night rode Paul Revere. And so through the night went his cry of alarm to every Middlesex village and farm, a cry of defiance and not of fear, a voice in the darkness, a knock at the door, and a word that shall echo forevermore. And you know, that's that watchman. That's what Paul Revere was, that watchman. We've had that, and I mention that because we've had that in our history, because our history is just a continuation of the, of course, the history book, the Bible that we read. And I mean, that's what comes to mind, and that is that, you know, we move through that process in our growth with Christ, you know, from being separate from Christ, which is how still so many are, to being called, chosen, to learning, to repentance, to baptism, to growth. Jason came up yesterday and the boys and everybody to the ranch and castrated bulls. And and Jason, by the way, I'll let you know, the wife got about half of those cleaned up last night. We'll bring them down to church tomorrow. And
oh, good.
She was talking to some of the members on the ministry back in Missouri that are quite adept at doing that. Diane was texting with the ladies out there and getting hints and how to do it, because we've never really cleaned them up, you know, from all that. But she was doing that and texting with some of the ladies and having a good time of it. So, but I bring that up that, you know, the material that we use, the knives we use to clean all that up, you know, after you do that, they're dirty, and you can't use them anymore until you wash them, until you clean them. And that thought occurred to me, you know, that's how we are before God. He can't use us until we're washed clean. Until, you know, that sin that we all have in our life is cleansed by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. But once He does that, once we're cleansed, well then, you know, then some growth can start. Then He can use us to be that light of the world that was prayed about today, to be that blessing to the nations, to all the people. Then we move into those positions that you're talking about, Tim, that watchman on the wall, to where then when we see, hey, wait a minute, you know,
yes.
The way things are today are not the way they're supposed to be. I can't help but think about our pastor when he used to talk about growing up in the 50s and, you know, kids playing outside in the neighborhoods and people walking, you know, and visiting people and walking around, and people weren't worshiping that false idol, that blue glow that was in everybody's neighborhood, that was in everybody's home. People were sitting on their front porch and visiting with people, and, you know, it was a pleasant time. And so many people today just don't even realize that once existed here in this nation. They look at things today, the crime and the corruption and the illegal aliens and the reverse racial discrimination. You know, you see all the insanity of these safe places that all these sinners and other people are demanding to have at the universities this year. The economic hardships and stuff, and the generation that's out today, that's all they know. That's all they know. And so we have to be the watchman on the wall saying, hey, wait a minute, folks, wake up. This is not the way it's supposed to be.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed, too, is you look at what has happened is, as far as just is the way that they're, you know, swapping these gender roles in society, and how men are being brought down lower and lower and women are being put up higher and higher. And, you know, one example is earlier this month, they had 10 women that took the Integrated Infantry Officers Course. And they took the challenge and they passed. And what that means is basically that they're headed towards the special forces. They're headed for becoming Green Berets, airborne, and not just soldiers in those groups, but team leaders, mm-hmm. and leaders of squads. And that's what that's the next step. They're getting transferred from Florida down to Fort Benning, Georgia, and they're going to have their own Green Beret team leaders that are now female, and that's never happened before. I mean, and you know, you talk about a mess. I mean, can you imagine a woman leading a team of Green Berets in anything, or special forces? I mean, you know, that is destruction. There's no way in the world I would follow a woman into battle. I mean,
no.
Because that's insanity, and the Bible says so.
Right, it does, But we and that's another thing that we see, just a complete turning away from biblical principles, a rejection of Bible law, of not just Bible law, but just the principles that are there. But you know, Jason, the people accept it. The people accept it. They say, "Oh yeah, we saw GI."
Yeah, well, they do. I've seen people.
They
were against one time and raised against homosexuality. They understood that it was wrong. They understood that the transgender issue was wrong. They understood that interracial marriage was wrong. They understood that, you know, I mean, you go down the list, and they have completely flip-flopped, and now they are completely supportive of all of these things. And it's like, what has happened? What has happened to somebody's head to make that flip-flop? I mean, how far down do you have to be, and how much sin do you have to have in your life to get to that point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right. Just any unrepentant sin, you know, that unrepentant sin does that. Jason, I absolutely, I've seen that in families. that would say, oh, no, they would agree with you 100%. Homosexuality is wrong. They would, oh, that's just the worst thing in the world. How could somebody do something like that? Until somebody in the family comes out of the closet. And then, oh, well, we can't go against so-and-so. Oh, my, we have to nurture him and love him and all this. And it's like, wait a minute. Is sin still sin or what?
Amen.
You know, who was it that, who was it back in, and I, you know, I should know my Bible better, shouldn't I? But wasn't it like that in 1 Samuel? Who was the prophet that Samuel came underneath? Eli? Wasn't it Eli that, Eli, that had the sons that were worthless? You know? And Eli accepted it. Now, Eli was at one time a man of God. You know, but he started accepting sin because it was his sons that were doing it, and so he accepted it. And you know, we have that Bible example, and we're not to do that. You know, we're not. Anyway, yeah, it you're right, Jason. The people flip flop, and you know, it shouldn't be that way. You know, the situational ethics that are taught, that have been taught for 20 plus years in the public school system, that well, it's, you know, it's different if it's somebody in the family. And the people won't tell you that, you know. The people won't tell you that. Then you start hearing things, well, we're to love the sinner, and, you know, you get
hate
things all convoluted at that point. It really is.
I had one man that I spent quite a lot of time talking to, and his father was a minister. I mean, he was I can't remember which affiliation, and it doesn't really matter, but he grew up in his Bible. It was easy to talk to him because, you know, he had a good working knowledge of it. At least he didn't say, well, you remember the story of David and Goliath, and he didn't go, mm-hmm. Who?
Yeah.
He was that way. Hate the sinner, or hate the sin and love the sinner. You know, that's the way God works it. And I can remember telling him, I said, well, you know, it's a funny how it works, because my grandfather used to say, you don't have to have a lot of principles, but you need at least 10 that you have zero tolerance, you know. And that was the way they operated. And it is, it's simple. That's what, I mean, the Bible says it's simple. I mean, and from those 10, reality springs. I mean, order springs, all those things.
Yes.
And so, one of the things I talk to people today, and I hear that a lot, it's like, well, the Bible doesn't have, they didn't have cars back then. They didn't have any idea how to make that all work. I mean, you think that, and it's like, it says all of it is contained in there. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter. The workings with foreigners are in there, or aliens. I like that word, aliens. You know, and about justice for alien in the land. It talks about all the things that we need to know. Once you understand those 10, they apply to everything.
Absolutely. You know, the thought occurs. You know, the law says you have one law in the land for you and the alien. One law. It's the same. Now, you don't discriminate against him, but then you don't let him go higher and higher above you. And the reverse discrimination that's in the land today, the teaching, the college classes, university classes, overcoming your whiteness, destroying the whiteness in America, you know, the curse of white privilege. It is absolute reverse discrimination. That is as much against God's law and his word and his way, you know, as homosexuality is. You don't do that. You have one law. You know, and they were those aliens, those strangers in the days of Moses. But if they were going to be in the land, they obeyed the law of the land. and the law of the land in this land was the Word of God. You know, that's what the Constitution is based on. You know, they weren't that far removed when they wrote that. They weren't that far removed from the Mayflower Compact, and they still understood that the settling of this land was to further the Christian faith, not the Christian religion, not any religion on God's green earth. No, to further the Christian faith. And that was in 1620, 1621. You know, it was only 150 years later they're doing the writing the Constitution, and it was based on those 10 biblical principles. And you know, in just a few hundred years, how far we've come away from that. We really have. Spoke with a brother, a different brother in Nebraska this week, and he asked if we still had an old pamphlet called America's Perils. And it's a repeat of the Gideon story, and it's an early pamphlet that pastor in this ministry put out. It's only, I've got one here in my hand, it's just a couple pages printed and folded, seven pages. And I told him we did, and boy, you know, it's so old, it still had a 303 area code for the church. And so that was back when Colorado had, I think, one area code, so 25 to 30 years ago. But it starts out, illegal aliens, reverse racial discrimination, economic hardships, devastating taxes, and rejection of Bible law in America is a precise repeat of the Bible history recorded in Judges 5 and 6. And I thought, how prophetic that 25 to 30 years ago, this is what our pastor was putting out. This is what he was being that watchman on the wall. He was warning people. He was reading it in the Bible. He was seeing how it applied today, and he was warning the people. And it just, anyway, yeah. It was encouraging to me to see this. And folks, we have this. And as I talked to that brother, he said, "Hey, send me 20 of those. I'm gonna pass them out," because it does, especially when you know. And I encourage you, remnant that are tuning in. We'll send you these. We'll print more if we have to. But I've got a couple boxes of them. America's Perils. It's an early message from Pastor Peters from 30 years ago, and it applies today. I'd encourage you to, you know, order 20 or 30 of these. Get a post-it note and write on there as you hand these out, you know, today or 30 years ago, to try to wake people up, to be that watchman on the wall, to be the light of the world, to not hide your light and not hide the light of the gospel underneath that basket, but to shine it out and to say, "Hey, folks, you know, this is why things are happening like this today."
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, things are changing, and it's just, you know, it's exciting times, and I think that's, you know, what we got to remember, and we got to remember that greater are the forces that are for us than the forces that are against us.
Amen.
You know, just as those Gideon soldiers were, weary, they pressed on. And, you know, there's a lot of things that have happened in our land today, and, you know, we've seen a lot of attacks in families. We've seen a lot of people turn away from God. We've seen a lot of people turn away from Christianity. You know, we've seen a lot of people that have turned away from things, but we've seen a lot of people that are coming back or coming to the truth also, because there's a lot of people that are in the world right now that are coming out of the world, and then, you know, they want to come out and they want to be different than the ways of the world. And I just really believe that we need to strive for that, and, you know, to be separate from the world. It's, you know, the wickedness, you know, call sin, sin. And, you know, wickedness, wickedness, and what's wrong is wrong, and what's right is right. I mean, you know, and it's pretty much cut and dry. And, you know, people need to quit making excuses for sin and call sin what it is. I mean, you know, people will make excuses for premarital relations and fornication and adultery. And, you know, I mean, it's, you know, they make excuses for it, and they explain it away, you know, and this and that. Well, it, you know, hey, the truth of the matter is it's wrong, right. And it's not supposed to be that way.
Amen.
And you know, anytime somebody starts making excuses for it, you know, they just, everybody else just, oh, well, that's okay, that's okay. They were dedicated to each other. They were committed to each other. They were going to get married anyway. You know, I mean, and, you know, it's still wrong, you know, yeah. And that's where it spreads. When things like that happen, then spread, because, you know, and hey, you know, sometimes nobody's perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I am. I'm not saying my family is. I'm not saying, you know, anybody is. But when you're doing something that's wrong and you continue to make excuses for it, it just spreads and it gets worse. You know,
worse.
The change is repentance, turning from it, you know. And if it's something that, hey, you're having a hard time turning from, you know, at least get on the road to, you know, to turn it around. I mean, and quit making excuses. And I've seen an awful lot of people making excuses for things that aren't right. And they're not right in this land. And it's like, well, you know, it's just a lesser of two evils. Well, sometimes there is a third alternative. And, you know, people need to step up to the plate and say, hey, this is wrong. This is not right. And, you know, and point it out that this is sin.
Amen. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that very thing. You know, do you not know, 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And, you know, if that's all you read, then you better get righteous. You know, all have sinned. You know, all have sinned, so nobody inherits. No, that's not what it says. It doesn't say that all who have sinned will not inherit. It says the unrighteous. And so, you know, certainly we're all unrighteous. But we have righteousness through Christ. And you read on. And this is New Testament, folks. This isn't some Old Testament back in Numbers or Judges. This is New Testament. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, and that's sex before marriage, or sex outside of marriage, fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And then it goes on, and you got to remember who this was written by, a murderer. This was written by a man that persecuted Christians to the point of death, but was forgiven. We got to remember that. This was written by one who was a sinner of the greatest degree.
Yeah.
Who stood by as they stoned Stephen, stood by in full acceptance, held their cloaks for him, it says. He was as guilty a participant as if he'd have been throwing the stones himself. We got to remember that, but he repented. And it says here, verse 11, such were some of you. Yeah, some of you were adulterers, some of you were fornicators. I'll tell you, I was a fornicator before I became a Christian. But I repented of that. And I was forgiven of that. And I ain't that way no more. Verse 11, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were washed. Those knives that my wife was cutting those bull balls with last night, I can go butter toast with them this morning if I want, because they've been washed. They're clean now. They're ready for further use. They're not all dirty and slimy and got bull testicle hair all over them anymore. They're washed. They're clean. They're ready to go. We're talking about frying those up for church tomorrow anyway. So, but you were washed, verse 11 says. Some of you were like this. We were like that. But we were washed. We were sanctified, meaning you turned away from that fornication. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. And so, you know, those things, like you said, Jason, they're rampant in the land, but they're sin. Call them what they are. It's sin. And if you want to practice these things, you know, the people that think that they can just continue on in these, whether it's in fornication, sex outside of marriage, whether it's in being an adulterer, being effeminate, you know, that's one thing we sure don't put up with. And we encourage you folks that, you know, if you got friends or family, especially sons, And even if they start to act that way, even in joking, boy, nip it in the bud. So, no, no, not going to have that. Not going to have that. Nor drunkards. You know, I enjoy a good cold beer as much as anybody does. But I'm not a drunkard. And I'll have a glass of wine with dinner sometimes. Not every night. Not a bottle. You know, there's some people that are just absolute teetotalers. Oh, no, you can't drink. That's a sin. No, that's a lie. You think Jesus would have turned the water into wine? If that would have been a sin? He couldn't have, because he didn't sin. But the Bible says in all things moderation. You know, the Apostle Paul later on writes, hey, no longer drink water only. Drink a little wine for your ailments, for your stomach. A little, not a bottle. You know, nor revilers, nor swindlers, you know. And it's sin. But sin can be repented of. Sin can be repented of, but there has to be repentance. The people have to hear sin, hear that it is sin. Wasn't it that way back in the days of Nehemiah? You know, when they're going to rebuild and they find the law, and they read the law, and they take 4 days of reading it. And it pierced the people's hearts because they didn't know. It had only been a generation, and they had forgotten. They didn't know about sin, that it was wrong. And it's been that we find ourselves, I think, in that time today. The people don't know what sin is.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they do, they accept.
Well, I think one of the things that always comes to mind when we see all that going on in the land, at least for me, is in Matthew 23, I think it's 23, he talks about how the scribes and the Pharisees, he called them hypocrites, and talks about how they tithed and the weightier provisions of the law, you know, justice and mercy and faithfulness. Those are weightier ones. And that faithfulness, the reason that you become a hypocrite is you're faithless. You don't apply those provisions. And that's that. The old saying that always, whenever I read that, the old saying that finally came to mind to me was the fact that, you know, beat yourself with the same yardstick you beat everybody else with. You know,
yeah.
I mean, and if you don't, that's the definition of a hypocrite. A hypocrite stands above and beside and cites all these. If you're a hypocrite, you can't have justice and mercy because you don't include yourself in that group. So if you stand apart and above it, you have become... you become like a god to yourself.
Yes.
And he says that word. Can't think of the exact verse at the moment, but it, you know, you sinners, judge. If you would judge yourselves,
And he tells them that, you blind Pharisee, verse 26. First, clean the inside of the cup, so that the outside of it may become clean also. And absolutely, Tim, that is that we and I think that's why the Apostle Paul wrote that there in 1 Corinthians. Such were some of you. He includes himself in that when you read the writings. He said, I was the worst sinner of all. I've been forgiven much, he said. Because he admitted to that. He measured himself by that same yardstick, or beat himself with that same yardstick, as you said, you know, Tim. But we are not to neglect, as you read, the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. I've got written in the notes of in the side note of my Bible there that Farrar Fenton lists those three as humanity, sympathy, and faith. You know, humanity, sympathy, and faith. And it, you know, when Christ said, love your neighbor as yourself and fulfill the royal law, if you have those things, then... You know, that's how you fulfill that royal law. You have those things right there.
Absolutely. And that faithfulness really ties in with... there are times when you, in through life, you come up against something and you're like, Lord, I don't know how to apply this. I don't have the experience to apply this. I don't have, and that's where faithfulness comes in. When you say, well, I know you have made provision for it. I know that it's there. Show it to me, Lord. And it'll be the way you say. That's the kind of faithfulness we have to have. Not that you see some of these people, well, the Bible contradicts itself and it's in conflict and this and that. That's because they don't have any faithfulness.
Right.
When you begin to have that faithfulness and pray for all things to work together in your life and in your spiritual walk, you begin to see how those all fit together and dovetail in. And it's not Pharisaical at all. It's very straightforward. It's very very much those things. And I know I see things in other people's lives sometimes, and I don't always have the right answer, but, you know, it's like, well, the Lord will judge on that situation. And there's a lot of times it's a sign for me. I learn new things from biblical and godly insight just by just watching what goes on there. I mean, I don't know particularly how to maybe solve it. I know that the answer is God. I just don't know what the application is. But,
Amen.
You know, we're constantly learning those things. So.
Amen.
Wait and see that I am God.
Yeah. Yep, amen. Back in Isaiah 49:23, the last part of it says, those who with hope wait for me will not be put to shame. You know, with hope, we know that's that faith. You know, we don't see it. But if we read it, we know it's true. We may not have the application, like you said, Tim, and I find myself in the same place. It's like, I don't have the answer. I don't know, you know, when we're counseling people, I don't have a magic word to tell you that everything will be fine. You know, that your son will come home after he's left home and turned away from family, or, you know, that the husband will return, or the wife, or I don't know, but
God does.
But God does. And when we apply, when we do what we're supposed to do, you know, it's like Romans 8:28. God, you know, he works all things for good for those that love him, that are called and chosen according to his purpose. I can't work out the things, but I can love him. And I can share that with people and say, you know, love God. Love God. Do what he says. Return from evil. Repent. Love God. Put him first.
And pray.
Because if you do that, he works all things for good for you. It's as simple as that. That's what the Bible says. That's that faith that we have. Guys, I think we got time for one phone call here. Let me get the buttons pushed. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Got about 2 minutes.
Good morning, man. Now, Jason had touched on it in his prayer, and I just wanted to kind of talk about it a little bit more.
Yes.
What we got coming up on Monday, the Halloween deal, and offer a little guidance to parents, you know, not falling into that trap, not dressing your children up like little pop stars or witches or goblins, and, you know, just expound on the consequences of that and, you know, the real meaning of that holiday.
It is not Christian, for sure.
And it's a dangerous thing because whenever when you do that, you are buying into what the holiday is meant for, which is worshiping their God. And we definitely don't want to put ourselves in that position.
Amen.
And whenever, it's one of those things, either you got to be for it or against it. You know, if you dress your children up and say, well, I'm just going to take them to church to trunk or treat, well, you're still doing it. It doesn't matter if you're partaking at church or if you're partaking up and down the streets. And we know that that holiday is one where they lift up their God and praises, and they dress up to be all these different things. And we know whenever we praise our God, that he is able to use more power in our lives. And it's the same whenever you talk about the counterfeit God. Whenever they praise him, that empowers him to be able to move more.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good point.
And as I mean, it's one of those things. Is I think, you know, a lot of people, they just don't understand the evil and the wickedness that comes around there. The spirits, the demons, the you know, the stuff that you can conjure up, and the stuff that you can open yourself up to be possessed or affected by. You know, with doing that, those sort of things. I mean, you know, and everything from the, you know, carving the pumpkins and putting the pumpkins on your jack-o'-lanterns on your doorstep and lighting the candles. And, I mean, you know, it's all part of it, and it's all satanic.
Amen. Well, and they love to dress them up in costumes. I mean, at the very least, they dress them up as... in costumes like actors, and what was the name of an actor back in the early days?
A hypocrite.
They were called liar.
Yeah, liar.
Hypocrites are liars.
Hypocrites.
That's what they called them. Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know.
Yeah, people look at it that way, like you mentioned, Josh, about dressing them up as pop stars. That's the biggie now. And it's idolatry, at the very least. It's idol worship. You know, hey, I want to be like that person. You know, that's we talked about it last Sunday morning. That's one of the reasons that the media world and the ungodly world came against Tim Tebow, because he was a positive role model, and the world doesn't want that. They want these negative things. They want worship on their terms to their gods. And Josh, you bring up a great point. That's what Halloween is worshiping false gods. It's what it is. If you choose to just participate in that sin, well, may God have mercy in his wrath. But you need to come out of her, my people. Repent.
And to just recognize the danger. You know, you're playing with fire there if you choose to be a part of that ritual.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Josh, thanks for the call, brother.
Amen. Have a good day.
You too. God bless. Well, folks, we're out of time. We want to invite you to church tomorrow. Jason, you've got the welcome tomorrow. Hope you remembered that. So don't know what you'll have for the people, but folks, if you come tomorrow, we will have a scriptural insight. You can come to church with us in the morning at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. on the East Coast, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast, at scripturesforamerica.org. And John's traveling this weekend and about the Father's business, but we're going to be there at church tomorrow, and we encourage you to join us. We'll have some scriptures for you. We'll have a good welcome. We'll have some songs. We'll have a communion service and a Holy Spirit-inspired message. So we do encourage you to take the time. Take the time. Step away from the world for a couple of hours, and don't forsake the assembly. Don't forsake the fellowship. It'll do you good, folks, if you'll do that. Join us Sunday morning at scripturesforamerica.org for the live broadcast. Well, guys, thanks again. And we'll go out with one of the pastor's songs. He liked this. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks again.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 shake high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, snake high. Ha! Ha!
Keep moving, moving, moving. Oh, they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of.